The Warrior Soul podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Chris Albert. Our goal is to empower U.S. military veterans to live their absolute best lives. And we do that by providing tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that they can apply into their lives to become wiser, stronger, smarter, more resilient, and more capable human beings in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about here can obviously apply to you. And if you like what we have to say and the information we provide and the guests we bring on, please head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. It really helps to spread word about the show and to get this helpful information into the hands of more veterans so that they can in turn improve their lives and shape the future of this country. This podcast is brought to you by the amazing, the wonderful F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of fats. These are portable snacks that you can carry with you anywhere. It's so hard to find a low-carb snack out there, but these guys have done it. They got macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with pecan butter. They've got awesome meat sticks, and they've got these delicious cheese snacks that they put out there. Plus, they're an amazing company. They send boxes of this stuff out to the troops on the front line. It's not something we ask them to do. It's something they volunteered to do. So if you want to get some of the best low-carb, high-fat snacks on the planet, head over to www.dropanfbomb.com. Use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order. This podcast is also brought to you by the amazing, awesome people at Save the Brave. Save the Brave is an organization that provides camaraderie events for veterans. They do fishing events, they do golfing events, they do other sporting events, and they also do a lot of work to help Gold Star families. And look, we've all heard stories about veterans charities where the executive boards are taking these giant salaries, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But here's the thing. I want to make sure that whatever organization I'm talking about is doing amazing work. SaveTheBrave.org is doing absolutely outstanding work. Their board doesn't take any salary whatsoever, and they are having an amazing impact. They're focused on getting veterans to live their absolute best lives, and that's what this podcast is about, and that's why we wanted to work with them. So if you're interested in volunteering or donating to Save the Brave, head over to www.savethebrave.org and make your donation or your request today. Finally, this podcast is brought to you by Warrior Soul Apparel. This is a clothing company that I actually helped to start a couple of years ago as we were beginning the brand Warrior Soul. We've got some amazing t-shirts. We've got skivvy shirts with some pretty funny sayings on there, like, I love Jesus, but I cuss sometimes. We've also got some awesome hero shirts. We have the amazing Hard Times Breed Hard People series. And these are just great shirts that I've helped create. And they support the show. So if you're interested in getting some Warrior Soul shirts, head over to www.warriorsoul.shop. And finally, if you're interested in joining a new group that we are putting together here at Warrior Soul, a group for those who are looking to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries, stick around to the end. We'll have some information for you to check out. With that, let's get into the episode. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
You know, when it comes to becoming the strongest version of yourself, a lot of times we're thinking of that in terms of physical ability, right? Going to the gym, lifting weights, moving more mass, becoming more physically capable. A lot of times, though, it's not enough, right? and you guys know this, being a strong person means that you need to combine whatever physical capability you have with an iron will. You know, anything difficult in life is going to require a strong mind. And we need to dedicate ourselves to building our will so that we can get through those difficult challenges, so that we can actually welcome challenges in our lives and seek harder things to do so that we can grow and expand as human beings. The gentleman I'm bringing on today is creating a movement to help men to do that, help them to empower themselves, to help them to build stronger backs. His name is Forrest Mundon. He's a U.S. Army veteran. He is the creator of two very popular pages on Instagram. The first one is the Salty Soldier, which is kind of like a meme page, centers around a lot of just comedy and humor and a lot of the humor you'd find in the veteran community and in the military communities. But also he has his own personal page, and it is Mundon underscore Forrest, and his name is Forrest Mundon. And on his Mundon underscore Forrest page, he's talking about things like building mental strength. He covers a lot of stoicism, a lot of the readings he does to expand his mind, to strengthen his will, and a lot of the personal practices that he takes to instill more ability to deal with the difficulties in life. He's got a great podcast. It's called Back Builders, and its goal is to strengthen its listeners, to give them that iron will. And I really enjoy listening to it. And I really enjoyed talking with him here on this episode. He's a younger guy. He's only 26 years old, but he's got a lot of maturity, and maturity that goes beyond his years, and he's got a great message. Recently, after taking a few year hiatus from his time in the Army, he went back and rejoined the Army and is now part of the Army Reserves. And he is basically traveling through life, trying to create this purpose and trying to spread that message of purpose to his followers. So you guys are going to really enjoy this conversation. You're going to get a whole lot out of it. So be sure to pull out a pen, a piece of paper. We talk about a lot of books. We talk about a lot of readings and a lot of practices. And without further delay, let's get into this conversation with Forrest Mundon, the creator of The Salty Soldier and the Back Builders podcast. Forrest, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, brother? Thanks for having me. Sorry about the audio issues. I came on and then I was like, hey, what's up, Chris? And then I instantly see you're like being a mime. I'm like, oh God. I was like, oh, great first impression coming here. But anyways, man, yeah, I'm glad to come on here because normally I'm on the other end of the microphone. I'm usually the one like conducting the podcast. So it's kind of nice to come into somebody else's realm and kind of chill out for a while.
It's good. We get to chill. We get to hang out. We're both drinking tea right now for those who are watching on audio. What type of tea do you have today, Forrest?
I just have like a typical, what is it? It's like a really cheap, what's the most cheap tea? It's like a green tea.
Like that. Oh man. It's like a Lipton.
Yeah. It's like something like that I got like so long ago. The reason why is because I always have to be drinking something whenever I'm doing my podcast or else my mouth just goes like turns into sand. So I was like, okay, I want to make coffee. But the problem is when I make coffee before my episodes, I get like super amped up and people are like, yeah, they're like, oh, you're talking too fast. You need to slow down. Like, oh, that's because I had coffee. Yeah.
I love coffee, but can't do it at this time of day. Can't do it at this time of day. I am drinking a Celestial Seasonings. What's it called? Pumpkin tea. So
a pumpkin tea.
Yes, one of the most unmanly drinks I could drink right now, but I enjoy it, and it helps the thought flow, and it'll help us to tap into each other's emotions as we go on this journey for the next 45 minutes or so, right?
Yeah, let's do it, brother. Yeah, I looked into a little bit of your episode. One thing that I used to do before coming on to people's podcasts is I used to like deep dive into their episodes and like really get a feel for it. But one of the things that I liked about what you said is that it's just like a conversation. You know what I mean? Because for the longest time, I would go into a podcast episode or do my own, and I needed like complete and total structure, like no surprises, you know? And then I listened back to the episodes and I was like, dude, I sounded like a robot. You know what I mean? Like I sounded like I was reading from a script. And so when you said, okay, this is going to be like just a conversation, I purposefully just learned about what the podcast was about. I read the bio. I've been following you on Instagram for a while, by the way. So,
oh shit.
Really? I had a general understanding of like the vibe of the whole entire thing. And then, but that was it. That was pretty much it. Yeah. Cause I didn't want to.
Yeah. You know what I've discovered after doing this for a while is that, so I reach out to a lot of different types of guests. I've had like a lot of different, a lot of New York Times bestsellers, a lot of like interesting people on here. And the thing is, I found that when I was taking too much of a deep dive, I started directing their questions and then they'd bring up these canned answers and things like that. And, you know, the thing is they're used to going on like all these podcasts, the big time podcasts, and they're used to delivering their answers. Our audience is different, right? We're veterans. We've got a different story. I want to get the natural take. And that's why I go down this road. And when I made the switch, it was, I have to say like the middle of last year, made the switch to going into more informal, was getting way better feedback about the episode. A lot of stuff from the guys, you know what I mean? But, real quick, you know, what I want to do is kind of introduce you to the audience. There's definitely some people out there who follow you on your accounts. But there's probably some people out there who don't know you as much. Could we get a quick synopsis of who you are, what you did, and where you served and what you're doing currently?
Yeah. So I know I was looking at our mutuals. We share a lot of the same followers. You're right. But for those of you guys who don't know who I am, my name is Forrest Munden. I am the creator of The Salty Soldier. So if you guys have never heard of The Salty Soldier, basically what it is like, it's a comedy page for veterans, essentially. You know, we share funny videos and memes. I actually created it back in 2000 and like, I want to say it was like 2014, 15, something. It was a long time ago because I needed somewhere just, we were making memes about my unit and like how crappy they were at the time. My friends were like, oh, you should put these somewhere. So that happened and it ended up being one of the, like the most popular military pages on Facebook. Now it has like 600,000 followers or something insane like that. So that's one of my pages. But then as time went on, I wanted to branch out into something different. And the reason why is because, and I always hope this guy doesn't like feel bad for this moment, but this guy changed, like he changed my life in a weird way. Because I was in a Starbucks a couple years ago and he recognized me. He was staring at me. He was looking at me and he was like whispering to his wife. And I was just thinking, what the hell is this guy? I've never been noticed in public before. And he comes up to me and he's like, hey, you're the meme guy, right? And then like a little part of my soul just died. And I was like, oh God, I just flashed forward to being 40 years old. And I was like, I don't want to be known as the meme guy anymore. So I went home and I created a separate page, which a lot of your followers might know also, which is just my Instagram where I share my thoughts about literally everything, like to the point to where my audience is like, oh my God, dude, all right, calm down. But I share a lot of my thoughts about the way society is going, about warrior culture, about masculinity, about like some traditional values, stuff like that. And now I'm at the point to where I can still enjoy The Salty Soldier and, you know, the content it provides, but I'm focused more on, I don't know if helping people is the right word, but helping people find strength and become better people. Because not to jump too far ahead, but when I left the service on active duty, I was like freaking super disorientated, super confused and super lost. And I spent more than a few years wandering around, almost literally, and trying to really find out who I am. And service wise, active Army veteran from 2011 to 2015. Served with the 101st Airborne, deployed to Nangarhar and Logman Province in like 2013, and got out from 2015, rejoined the reserves in 9 months ago, which has been really interesting. So that's a whole story in and of itself on how I ended up going back in reserves. But yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
So it's a salty soldier, and then the other one is Munnin Forest, right?
Munnin that's right.
Yeah.
And I'm very careful to keep them separate because I have like two personalities almost on the internet. A lot of us have our own facade that we play for like our audience, but the salty soldier is kind of like, I want to say it's like the fool within the king's court, right? Like I use it to like kind of bring up things that maybe I normally wouldn't be able to bring up in like a normal environment. And then I have like Munnin underscore Forest, which is more of like a serious philosophical type page. So it's a really nice balance between the two, but honestly, I'm really enjoying my personal brand right now more than anything.
Yeah. You know, I definitely identify with what you're saying. Cause when I got my start in, I guess my online identity.
Yeah.
I used to be the owner of Metroflex Gym in Long Beach, and I trained like CT Fletcher and Mike Rashid and like was surrounded by bodybuilders. I was a bodybuilder and all this stuff. And, you know, it got to a certain point where I didn't want that to be my identity either. Like I didn't want it to be that at all. And when I first started Warrior Soul, it was like, it was just like a clothing brand. We started doing memes just like you did. But kind of like, I guess, you know, part of what you're saying, what you're describing there is empowerment, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to strengthen the veteran community. You're trying to get them to help themselves. And, you know, 5-6 years ago, when I was looking around at the content being offered to veterans out there, I mean, it was one of two things. It was either like just sheer entertainment, which was like humor, comedy, this whole kind of dysfunctional veteran aura.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was awareness and kind of wallowing in this 22 deaths a day, 22 suicides a day thing. And I see the reason behind each, right? Obviously humor is definitely helpful. I love humor. I friggin' thrived on it when I was in the Marine Corps. Yeah. And I still love it. I love your Salty Soldier page. Mm-hmm. But I think we're at a point now where more and more of us are looking towards solutions, right? And the solution is not going to come from the VA. Mm-mm. It's not going to come from the government. It's not going to come from some wealthy benefactor donating millions or billions of dollars to us. It's got to come from us, right? And that's what I like about what you're doing. And that's what I like about your Munnin Forest page. I've seen a lot of the stuff you talk about on there. And I think those issues are so important for our community. And so important for us to you know, bring front and center in this journey we're on, right?
Mm. Yeah, I actually like how you kind of hit on it for a second there, which I really liked was that I don't know why people get so upset when I say this because I feel like it's kind of obvious, but the veteran community I feel like has kind of adopted its own like victim mentality. You know, it's like this woe is me type thing. Like I expect to be rescued by the VA and like what you said, these rich people, you know, donating tons of money to these programs, which I won't deny that maybe that helps to a certain extent, but yeah, nobody's going to come rescue you when you're in distress, especially after the service. Like, you know, I spent years in Europe and walking around and kind of just like trying to figure out who I am, only to figure out that it was literally me the whole time that was going to help me get to where I wanted to be. And through massive amounts of suffering, I was finally able to ironically figure that out. But yeah, that's the thing is like when I got out of the service, I had that victim mentality. I was angry. I was bitter. I was upset at the Army. I was just mad at everything, but I feel like every veteran within their life has this pivot point to where they realize like they're only going to rescue themselves. And those always make for really interesting stories. And that's the stories that I try to help tell.
Yeah. I hope that, and you described it perfectly, I think. And I've talked to a lot of other veterans. I talked to Vince Vardis about this, talked to Nick Kumulatsos about this. There was a victim mentality and there still is a victim mentality.
Yeah, there still is, yeah.
Veteran community. And that was my fear was that we were basically turning ourselves into a victim class. And this is the thing, you go out there on social media, you see people from our community criticizing people who are social, quote unquote, social justice warriors, right? Who mm-hmm. are complaining about everything. But then if you come back to our community, you see people doing the same thing and following down the same line of logic, you know, I got to call them out on that. Right. And I think that there's a real danger there, a huge danger there, because we could still be sitting here 20 years from now complaining.
Yeah. I have to like go back and I have to look at from when I first got out, like in 2015, the epidemic of veteran suicide was at its very worst. And this brings up a whole different conversation, is that the questions that I ask when it comes to like the veteran suicide issue is like, how many of those veterans are actually killing themselves because they suffer from PTSD? And I actually talked to a psychotherapist from the VA. I won't give away their names, but the amount of it is way smaller than people actually are led to believe. I mean, you can get into the demographics of it, like Vietnam veterans and stuff like that are killing themselves at astonishing rate. But for the most part, like Afghanistan, Iraq veterans, they get out and they kill themselves because of isolation and loneliness and depression and mental health issues. And so I almost feel like when it comes to like veteran suicide, and a lot of people get really pissed at me for saying this, so I understand. I almost feel like we are looking in the wrong place. We're looking at like, okay, PTSD, how do we solve PTSD? Like, do we give them anti-anxiety, anti-depression and stuff like that? When in actuality, it comes from what I always say, which has worked for me, is combating depression through action. So when I got out of the military and I was hyper depressed, right? Like just so sad and just, you know, woe is me and all this stuff like that. It took me years to realize that I got better through just constantly moving. I got into jiu-jitsu. I got into team-based sports. I got into combatives. I got into writing, and I got into all these things. So it's like my mentality now is combat depression through action and seek out a tribe, seek out a support system, friends. My pride really got the best of me when I got out of the service, because I was in a bad, bad place. And I was like, I don't need help from anybody. I was like, I don't need help from mom, dad, brother, sister, nothing like that. And I feel like ultimately that is, in a nutshell, what causes the death of a lot of veterans it's a multi-factor issue, I think. Complicated one at that.
I definitely agree with you there. The stats, something like, and I definitely would want to do my research on this and have anybody out there check me on this, but I believe it's something like 60% of suicides are from non-combat veterans, something like that.
Really? Really?
A lot of them, right? And there's definitely an isolation issue, and it definitely could be part of the fact that men in general are more likely to commit suicide, right? Men in general are more likely to commit suicide, especially men who are alone, isolated, don't find meaning in their lives. I want to ask you, what do you think was causing your bad state back then? What was it specifically? Was it, you know, trying to find your way in the world? Was it trying to find a new thing in life? Or were you just kind of drifting out there?
I think it came from a couple of different things. One was my perception on the Army was in the negative. It was completely wrong. It was that of, you know, I'm a victim. Everything that happens to me is because, you know, this person hates me or that person hates me. So that caused me a lot of distress. So looking back on it now, I realized that I was almost literally my own worst enemy. You know, everything that happened to me, I just took it so personally. You know what I mean? So now when it comes to my perception of like the military and where I'm at now in the reserves, I kind of take a more stoic philosophy, I guess, to it, meaning that, like, you know, I choose how I can react to certain situations, but I can't control everything that happens to me. So that was one of the things that really messed me up, was just a really bad negative attitude. And I was young too. I was like 21, 22 when I got out of service. And then I would say another thing that really screwed me up was just the isolation that came with leaving the service. And I didn't want to leave the service. I actually felt like I was kind of pushed out, because I had this fantasized thought of what the Army would be like growing up. I wanted to join the Army my whole life. You know, I was born in 93. So I was raised watching all these war movies about these heroes and stuff like that, Saving Private Ryan, Braveheart, Gladiator. So I had this fantasy about what it would be like to join the army. And then I got there and it was like, you know, the standard of the army was slipping, you know, we had all these rules and regulations and it just wasn't what I thought it would be. So I went from wanting to be a soldier my entire life, like literally from the time I was about 9 years old to all of a sudden only after like 4 years leaving the service. So I was completely disorientated and confused when I got out, because I just felt like my dream was taken from me. I had to find out, you know, okay, if I'm not a soldier, if I'm not a warrior, then what am I? Like, okay, you know, so that was my biggest problem, was my identity issue that I had. I was a soldier, you know, that was me. And then when I took off the uniform, I felt like nothing after that. I felt like just a bum. And I kind of embodied that persona a little bit of like just being this faceless blob by just kind of packing up my Jeep and driving around the country. And I ended up moving to Europe and spending some time in Europe, in Sweden to be more exact. So I would say isolation was like my biggest problem.
It's an interesting concept, I think, because like, I think for all young men, there's a window between like the ages of 18 to 25 mm-hmm. when you can go and you can do stuff like that, right? You can go, you could join the military, you can go, you could be a, you can go and travel around the country, travel around the world, live off like ramen noodles, sleep on your friend's couch,
oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
all that stuff. And I think in some ways, like, it's hard, it's difficult, but I think every young man's got to go through that, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're in that place right now, one thing to always remember is that that state brings options, right? Mm. It brings options. You might be poor. You might have like nothing in the world. There was a point when I was living out of my car. I had nothing but my dog and a couple of bags of clothes. But if you can realize it, if you have nothing, right? Just like the book Fight Club says, right? If you have nothing, you could do anything. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's like a starting point. And I wish more people would realize that, especially when you're just getting out. Right. Because I want to shake some of these guys and I want to say, come on, motherfucker, you can fucking do whatever the fuck mm-hmm. you want. Just fucking apply yourself. Right. And it's crazy.
Yeah. That was actually one of the, I wish somebody would have, I look back, cause I'm 26 now, and I look back at 22-year-old Forrest and what he did when he got out of the service, and also why I got out of the service. And sorry, I'm backtracking a little bit here, but you just made me think of something else, is that one of the things that messed me up the most was lack of brotherhood, lack of camaraderie. Like, I was surrounded by my brothers, surrounded by my friends, even if we were just screwing around in the motor pool, it didn't matter. I didn't realize at the time that that was most important to me. So when I got out of the service and I kind of just plopped down on the couch, took off my boots for the last time, I was like, okay, wow, this is weird. And then all of my friends deployed in the Fort Campbell area, a deployment that I had to make a decision on, like, am I going to deploy to Iraq or am I going to get out? And I ETS. So I'm stuck in the area. My entire brigade is gone. All my friends are gone. And I stayed there. And I wish that somebody would have come and shook me and been like, come on, you dumb motherfucker. Like, come get your ass up. But I just sat on the couch and I literally played video games for at least 4 or 5 months after I got, it was, when I look back on that now, that's pretty, pretty depressing. I moved out of the freaking, I moved out of the barracks and I moved in with my friend at like this really crappy trailer, like worst trailer in the Kentucky. Like, I was almost better off living in a car because we just rented this $350 a month trailer that had like no heating in this trailer park. Yeah, I really wish somebody would have kind of woken me up from that stupor that I had. And it doesn't really help that men don't really have that much guidance anymore when it comes to how to become a man, what it means to be a man. The military tells you at all times what you're supposed to do. They tell you when to wipe your ass. They tell you when to eat food, and you get out. All of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I'm my own person now. And especially after, like, I left at 17. So I went from essentially one tit to the other. And then when I got out, I was a free man. But yeah, I can't help but wonder, did men back in like, I don't know, like the Roman era or whatever, have identity issues? Like, did they really just not know what they were supposed to be doing? Like the men today, like how we feel today?
Yeah, that's a, you know, I grew up without a dad. Never knew the guy or anything like that. Marine Corps was kind of like my, well, I had sports, organized sports, wrestling.
Oh, okay. Football, yeah.
Stuff like that. But like, and then I my mom, she pushed me into things like that, pushed me into strength training because she noticed that I was having issues. But when I joined the Marine Corps, it was kind of like my first real introduction to real male mentorship. Mm. And, you know, right now I'm 40 years old. I turned 40 last year. And, you know, I can say like, I wish I had the knowledge I have now. Right. Mm-hmm. I wish I had the ability to rationalize. I wish I ran into Stoic philosophy, mm-hmm. back then and did more reading and things like that. What I can say though, is that things like this podcast and other podcasts and the amount of social media that's out there from people who are truly focused on this issue, that is a road that didn't exist when I was back in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. So I think like your generation has that benefit, but what matters is who you're following, because mm-hmm. you get all hemmed up into the battles on social media about President Trump, about politics, about all this stuff. And if you focus on that, then you're going to be missing a significant aspect of your development, because you're focused on that, not on the learning aspect.
Huh. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I heard this quote the other day. It's show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's by that billionaire guy. He says it all the time. But I had to do the same thing on social media. I had to kind of cleanse my following. I literally went through the 1,000 people that I was following, and you kind of pick and choose how you want to see the world through who you follow. And the same thing goes with your friends. It goes with what type of books you're reading, and like what type of podcasts you're listening to. You know, what type of videos are you watching? So over the last year, I've had to really clean up the things that I'm listening to and what I'm spending my time on, like listening to podcasts like Order of Man. Like, I really like that podcast. I really like Jocko's podcast, you know, stuff like that. And by the way, I know I had to, somebody said something to me the other day that was like so profoundly stupid that it almost gave me like a mini epiphany. But he's like, I don't, this random guy messaged me on Instagram. And he said, I think it's really strange that men are telling other men how to live their lives. And I was like, there's some really wise men out there that you should be listening to. And, that really made me want to pay attention to these wise older men a lot more than when I was 20. And I thought they were stupid boomers or whatever people say now.
Yeah, dude, that pisses me off to no extent, because I think we've got a generation out there that thinks they have all the answers mm-hmm. inside of them, you know, and there's less regard for the older generation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I put something up about that the other day, you know, that okay boomer statement. Like, when I hear somebody say that, it basically means that they don't want to argue. They don't want to have a real debate. Mm-hmm. They just want to go about themselves and not listen to anybody who might have more experience than them. Right. That's pretty much what that statement says.
Yeah. It shuts it down immediately. It's funny, because when I was in my lower 20s too, and I don't mean to go back to my lower 20s, because that's obviously like way in the past now, but I disregarded the older
generation.
3 years
in the past, brother.
Hey, that's like 26. That feels like 10 years ago. but I would like literally get advice from like older men and even my dad. And I was like, I don't need to listen to you. I have all the answers. But meanwhile, I'm like, in this trailer freezing, like, what am I doing wrong? You know, somebody help me out here. But in time, if you're willing to take action and study, you know, the philosophies or read these biographies or something like that, you kind of have like this integration of everybody's thoughts that go into your head. Like, when I think about, you know, something that I'm struggling on, I think of one of my most favorite generals, you know, Ulysses Grant. I think about, okay, what would he have done? Or I think about a Stoic philosopher, like, okay, what would Marcus Aurelius do in this situation? But it's not as literal. It's more of like you take their feelings, if that makes sense, their thoughts, and it just becomes you. And if you could you could do that in the negative or the positive. You can do that with shitheads that are like doing drugs around you and like, okay, what would Dan the crackhead do? Or you could do like, what would Socrates the Stoic philosopher do? So that was, dude, that has been absolutely phenomenal in my life. It's just picking up a book. Just picking up a book and reading. And I know a lot of the audience is listening to this like, oh yeah, no shit. But I mean, it really helped me get to where I'm at today was that kind of stuff.
Are you a morning reader or are you an evening reader?
You know, what's weird is that I tried to morning read. I really did. But I like right when I get up, I just want to get out the door and go to the gym and do my thing. So I really came down to reading at night before bed. Not that long, maybe 30, 40 minutes, but Audible. I use a lot of audiobooks because I'm always driving. I'm always like, you know, working. So most of my reading these days comes from Audible. Like it's actually insane how much reading comes from Audible now.
Yeah. So I do Audible. I do a lot of like regular books. I have like a whole stack over there.
Oh yeah.
And everything. But like, you know, one thing I'll do, because I used to be like a workout in the morning guy.
Uh-huh.
I started training in the midday and I have the luxury of doing that just because I work for myself and stuff. But
yeah, it's good.
The reason I do that is because I was finding like in the morning, if I hit the gym early in the morning, my energy would dissipate after like 11 a.m. And I'd be like restless and I needed to get out of the house. And it's that isolation thing again. But I find now if I work out around 11:30 in the morning, I get energy throughout the day. And so what I do early in the morning, I'll wake up at like 4:35. I'll just spend the first hour of my day just reading. And then I'll journal lessons from whatever I read. And then I'll spend the next hour writing. And the cool thing about like what you said is about kind of invoking these alternative identities that you bring in based off your reading. Like one of the things I'll do before I write and like after I read, I have my Shema here. I put this thing on.
Oh, that's interesting.
I put my hood up and then I take my fucking 9mm Beretta and then I just stick it to the side of my fucking desk. And then I'm like, all right, I'm in fucking warrior mode right now. And I fucking write. And it's like an alternative identity.
Yeah. And
my girlfriend knows like if I'm dressed up like that, don't fucking bother me. Don't talk to me. I'm concentrating. I'm focused on something. And it's helped. And it sounds like the stupidest freaking thing in the world, but it's helped me so much in being creative and writing and getting shit done.
I like that you said that because I'm really interested in archetypes. Like, I don't know if you've ever read, I actually have it right here because I was just making notes the other day, but it's the book King, Warrior, Magician, Lover, which is like one of my most favorite books ever.
I haven't read that.
Oh, it's dude. This book literally like one of the books changed my life. So what you were talking about right there, like how you put on your hood and you had your Beretta, you were like almost literally evoking the warrior archetype within you. Like the warrior archetype that is like hyper-focused. It knows exactly what needs to get done. It's aggressive. It's, It knows what it needs to get done. And I kind of have that same thing too, except it's not so physical. It's more of like spiritual where I have a space in the corner of my house. Obviously it's not here anymore because now I'm renovating this room, but it's called like a sacred space. You go into that corner of your room where it's well lit, has some nice lighting. And every time you go into that corner, you're in warrior mode. You know, you're knocking out your shit. You're not slacking, stuff like that. And my girlfriend at the time knew that at any time, if I had the door shut, not to come in because I was doing my stuff. So, yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah, dude, you would really like this book, King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. It's about all the archetypes that go within the male psyche and how to identify them and the negative aspects of all of them. So it's really interesting. It's really interesting, especially more so now during this time of my life. I'm really involved in the warrior archetype and like what it means to be a warrior. But I've also learned that you can overindulge in the warrior and you can let your pillars of support kind of slide. Like imagine if you just sat there all day with your hood on and your Beretta by your hip, you know, things around you would start to collapse because you know, you're not paying attention to other things. So yeah, dude, you'd like that book.
Yeah, dude. Definitely in agreement there. Who wrote that book, man?
I think it was two psychologists, Robert Moore and Douglas Gillette was the two of them, but yeah, there was this book that was really, really thought-provoking and really it's so weird. I actually have so many notes in this book, but and there was another book called He, Masculine Psychology by Robert A. Johnson, and that book was absolutely phenomenal. I'm saying that because I know that you read a lot, and also I know that your audience is probably really interested in masculine psychology. And so He, it's on Amazon, it's like $10, and then King Warrior Magician Lover.
Hey guys, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. You know, the Warrior Soul podcast is built with the mission to empower its listeners to live absolutely epic lives. And that's why we recently created a group called the Warriors Obituary Society. This group is built to empower its members to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And it starts with an 8-week development program. And with this development program, what you're going to do is you're going to outline a vision for your life. You're going to get very specific about what you want. Because without that specificity, you don't know where you're going and you don't know what you're doing. From there, we help our members to develop specific goals, objectives that they are going to push toward, and that their fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society are going to hold them accountable to. From there, we're getting down into specifics. We're going to help you to develop and customize your own personal fitness and nutrition plan to help to fuel your body and fuel your mind for the quest ahead. From there, we're going to work on your personal finances. We're going to help you to knock down debt. We're going to help you to start saving money and to create a plan so that you can start investing in your dreams. Then we're going to get into your business and career. We're going to help you to develop the skills that you need to develop yourself so that you can have a major impact in the field you choose. If you choose to go into business, we're going to help you to set up the foundations that you need to create your own company and get started on your path in life. From there, we're going to be working on your relationships. We're going to help you to develop a world-class network. And all along the way, you're going to have your fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society pushing you in every single area. We meet once a week over a live call, and we're constantly communicating over our own private forum on Slack. We don't do anything over social media, and that's because I don't want anybody feeling like anyone's looking over their shoulders, and I don't want you exposed to the crazy, distracting alerts that you get on Facebook and some of the other social media platforms. Normally, programs like this cost thousands of dollars. This one does not. For the price, it is the best development program on the internet. And that's because our mission here at Warrior Soul is to empower people to get more out of life so that they can in turn make the world a better place. We've got a great mix of active duty military, U.S. military veterans, and civilians in this group. We wanted to keep it really eclectic so that we get a lot of different types of views up there and a lot of different people with different areas of expertise. If you think that this is something that would be of interest to you and that this is something that could empower you to live your absolute best life, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. That's www.warriorobituarysociety.com, and you can sign up today. And if you have any questions about it, just reach out to me at chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. That's chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. I'm happy to even sit down with you for a phone call for a few minutes to see if the group is right for you. I look forward to seeing you guys in there, and let's get back to this awesome interview.
Beautiful. Definitely. Book. Has there ever been any books in your life where you just read it and it completely changed your perspective on the world?
You know, one that really changed my perspective this last year, and I can't believe it took me this long to read that book, but it was Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Oh, yeah.
that book hit me like a ton of bricks because I lost a really good friend to a couple of really good friends, one to an overdose, one to a brain aneurysm, like back to back, like went home for the memorial service for one. The other friend was organizing that memorial service, and then he died 2 weeks later. And then it just hit me like a ton of bricks. hit my stress receptors so hard. I have a autoimmune disease called ulcerative colitis, which is why I look like a living corpse right now. And friggin', I was so angry after that and until I read that book. And you see the suffering that that man and everybody else who went through the concentration camps went through, and you see how he carried on, you know, the fact that you go through something like that and then you get home and you find that your entire family has been murdered. Like, what do you do then? You know? And he talks about that, and he talks about how meaning brought him through it. And so I've been really focused on with the podcast and everything I do. I'm working on a book right now, trying to help people to find meaning, you know, with my fitness clients. The first thing I do with my fitness clients, I'm not focused on getting them to the point where they can increase their squat or get abs. I want to find the meaning. Why are you doing this? Why are you dedicating these months, these weeks of your life to this thing? And I think everybody's got to ask themselves that question. What's the bigger reason, right? Otherwise you're going to drop it. You're going to drop it like a ton of bricks.
I like that you said that meaning, because I read that book too. That was actually one of the first book. Like when you first start reading, you kind of just pick up a book here and there and you glance through it. But that was the first book I finished cover to cover. And I think it was like almost 2 days. It was really good. And I remember one specific scene in the book was when I think he was doing like some type of labor. I don't know what it was. And he created that avatar of his wife that he would talk to. And it would help him get through, you know, his work days and almost literally keep him from not dying. But what he was talking about in that book was, yes, meaning, but also the power of like how you can control your thoughts and how you can perceive the world through those thoughts. Now, what's really interesting and really like what you said about finding meaning, at one point in time, my biggest mistake was that I fell into, this also provokes a lot of negative feelings in people too, but the pursuit of happiness, right? I don't actually believe that humans want to be happy. If humans wanted to be happy all the time, they wouldn't join the army. They wouldn't, you know, eat poorly. They wouldn't do all the things that they do. What they want is meaning. What they want is fulfillment. So now in my head, I'm like, okay, you know, screw happiness. If happiness comes, it's a blessing, you know, but I'm not going to actively seek out constantly being happy, because happiness is, you know, that really good tasting Twinkie, or, you know, having sex with that person who's really toxic or whatever. But finding meaning and finding fulfillment, that is like what keeps me going. You know what I mean? It's, I really do believe that meaning is what we are all here for. And the cool thing about meaning is that there's no one size fits all. It's fluid. It's subjective, really. And it's a journey. A lot of people think that finding meaning is an overnight thing, and as if you're going to just stumble across it one day, which is possible. But for the most part, finding meaning is a long journey. A long journey.
It is. And you got that right. The whole point of that book there is because up to that point, Freud's theories were front and center. And Freud said that man's behavior was entirely determined by seeking pleasure and running away from pain. Mm. And what Frankl found was that, you know, it wasn't a by chance that somebody survived a Nazi concentration camp, right? It wasn't by chance. You had to actively try to survive every second of the day. And he said, you know, if man was just searching for pleasure, why would these people try to survive? They had no pleasure. Their entire existence was pain. Mm. And, you know, the thing is, what the basic message there is that no matter what you're going through, no matter what kind of suffering you're going through, you could find a meaning in this life. Mm. And it's not something you can chase. It's not something that you can just conjure up. You've got to do it by living for something that's bigger than yourself, or living for a person other than yourself.
Yes. Yes. Oh God, that's perfect. I really hope that some people are listening to that, because when I got out of the service, I kind of adapted this individualistic mentality to where, you know, it was just me in the world and nothing else really mattered. But the moment that I attached myself to something bigger, right, a bigger purpose, essentially meaning outside of myself, you're relieved of a lot of pain and a lot of suffering, because now either A, people are depending on you, or B, you got a freaking job to do. So now, part of the reason why I rejoined the service was because I realized that my psyche, the masculine psyche, needs to attach itself to something bigger. you know, a greater good. Man has been doing that for millennia, whether it's on the large or small level or on the large level. But when I attach myself to something outside of myself, you're relieved of a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. And especially if you believe that thing is just and good. And it's a really good feeling to have. And a lot of people do it in a bunch of different ways, you know, join the fire department, police, a charity of some sort, service. So yeah, that was actually, I like that you mentioned that because that really helped me.
Yeah, that's huge, man. So you joined the reserves again 9 months ago. How's that experience been?
So far, it's actually been really good. It was actually one of the easiest decisions that I've ever made in my entire life. And the reason why is because I realized when I first left the Army, I knew that I was going to come back in. I just didn't know when. But so far, it's been great because I went in with a goal. I went in with a mission. So now I'm a drill sergeant candidate. I'm waiting to leave to the Drill Sergeant Academy January 22nd because I went in with the goal of helping young men. I wanted to give them a model, you know, a figure that they can look to for guidance. And I feel like one of the best ways that I could do that was by being a drill sergeant, you know, because you have all these kids who, some of them, you know, like you said, they don't have dads coming in and you're like that first masculine father archetype. And I feel like it's a real honor to be in that position. But yeah, man, I signed that contract 9 months ago and I slept like a baby that night. I know, like, maybe in another day I would have been like, God, did I make the right decision? You know, what the heck am I getting myself into? You know, trail life is miserable. But one of the books too that kind of pushed me into signing that contract again was, I don't know if you've ever read it, was Stephen Pressfield's Gates of Fire. And
yeah. Oh,
dude, you like that book, right?
Yeah, I love that book. That's an awesome book.
I love that book. Man, that book changed my life. There's a few quotes in there that that really hit me. But ultimately my takeaway from that book was, the brotherhood of the service. Like, it's like, screw the details, screw the, you know, the shitty leadership, and, but having your brothers to your left and to your right, that was poetic and that was beautiful to me. And that's ultimately what got me into the service again. And the dichotomy between the older Spartans and the younger Spartans, I kind of just put in my head, drill sergeant, you know, recruits. And that was like the closest I could get to that. But Stephen Pressfield inspired me to get back into the Army through that book.
It's an interesting, because the story behind the book there, you know, he was 55 years old, I think, before he actually got that book published. It was his first big book, right? Mm-hmm. And for something like, because he was in the Marine Corps, something like, I think it was almost 30 years. I mean, he drifted. He was living out of the back of his van. He had these manuscripts that he was trying to write, mm-hmm. like all these things. And he actually wrote another book. It was called The War of Art. Yeah. He describes that process. And that's another fabulous book. But yeah, it's just kind of goes back to that idea of trying to find that identity, trying to find your purpose, trying to find meaning behind what you're doing. And then creating the identity required to get it done. You know, that's the other aspect. Mm. But I want to ask you this, because I'm unfamiliar with the Army Reserves. How does the reserve drill instructor system work? Do you go to a basic training and reside there for a while, or do you go for like a weekend or something like that?
It's weird. Honestly, I asked the same question when I was first going back in. I was like, okay, what the heck does a reservist drill sergeant do? You have something called AT, which is annual training, which means that at least 2 weeks every year, you have to go on trail. So you have to be a drill sergeant at basic training, wherever in the country, for at least 2 weeks. Now, what I plan on doing is that when I graduate the academy, if I graduate the academy, is you can sign up for something called, it's called like Mission 365 or something, I don't know, where you can volunteer for a year-long trail mission. So you're on the trail as essentially like an active duty drill sergeant. And I really want to do that because I don't want to get a hat, the drill sergeant hat, and then only do it 2 weeks out of every year, because I'm going in there to hopefully change lives and then change mine in the process. I can't do that for 2 weeks out of the year. So yeah, Mission 365 is what I'm going for right now. And I'm trying to do that as soon as possible. Like, hopefully as soon as I graduate the academy, I can get orders and get on the trail. some drill sergeants ask me why I want to do that, because trail life is miserable, as you probably already know, and it's tiring and exhausting, but I think it's going to be super rewarding.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah. So, I wanted to talk a bit about, you have a podcast right now and you have your Mundan and Forest page. What types of things are you covering on the podcast over there?
Oh, that's a good question. So honestly, I talk about whatever I'm inspired by at the current moment. So though there's times where I'll go on and I'll talk about, maybe a book that I read or something like that. And there's other times where I'm just pissed off and I'm angry at, you know, the way society's going or something. And then I'll go on a 10-minute rant about something. It's just the way I honestly think about my podcast is that I created it to kind of create an archive of my thoughts. And I found that people enjoyed it. So I kind of just turned it into a podcast, but I talk about everything from freaking masculinity to one of my most popular episodes was inspired by the book No More Mr. Nice Guy, to the warrior spirit, about what it means to be a warrior in today's modern society, how the warrior spirit is dying. I ask questions like, does honor still exist? Does glory still exist? If it does, what forms does it take? I talk about women. I talk about sex. I talk about impulse control. I talk about Stoic philosophy. These are all things that I just talk about because they inspire me, you know. So that's also one of my least popular episodes was called Barley Men, which was about vegetarianism. And there's nothing specific that I talk about. It's all over the map and it's working. So I'm gonna keep doing that.
That's awesome, man. What's it called?
It's called Back Builders. So if you look on Spotify, I think if you just search Backbuilders, no spaces or anything like that, Backbuilders podcast. And the reason why I actually created that name was because I didn't have a name for the longest time for that podcast. I was just called Forrest Mundan's podcast. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, hey, if Jocko can create a podcast out of his name, then I can. But I needed to attach myself to a brand and I also needed a logo. So in one of my episodes, it's called Back Building. And I came across a quote one time, I think it was by like Jordan Peterson or something. It was basically around the idea that, hey, you know, the burden of life is heavy. So instead of crumbling underneath the weight, build a stronger back. So then I did a whole episode about back building. And my motto for life is that life is hard. And I want to be surrounded by people who will bear the burden of life rather than crumbling and crying underneath it. Everything I do revolves around back building and becoming a stronger person. And there's a lot of different ways to do that.
Well, that's a good outlook on life, man, especially if you're somebody as young as you are, right? And you don't think you're young right now at 26, but dude, no, trust me. you got a lot of life ahead of you, man. Yeah. And it looks like you're building an amazing life. So that's awesome, man. Well, dude, it's been great talking to you for the past hour and, some great conversation here. I'd love to have you back on again sometime to talk about some other stuff.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? Where can people find the Back Builder podcast? Is it on iTunes too? Or is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a website attached to it?
Not yet, but we, if you go on Spotify, which is what most people are listening to podcasts now, you can find it. It's just Back Builders and then iTunes. You could search Back Builders. And if you guys don't follow me on Instagram, it's just Mundan, MUNDEN _ Forest with 2 R's. And you'll find me there. I post tons of content there, guys. Like, it's actually kind of embarrassing how much time I'll spend writing up an essay post or something like that, or creating an episode. But yeah, so just Instagram. You can find my podcast on iTunes and Spotify. And those are the best places to reach me. One day we'll have a website, but we'll get there.
Awesome, brother. Awesome, man. Any last words?
No, I just wanted to thank you for having me on your podcast. It's honestly been a lot of fun and I would love to have you on mine one day. Actually, I think that would be really cool. Also,
just let me know, man. I'm up for going on your show anytime, brother.
Let's do it. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Awesome, man. And you're right up the hill from me, right? Like you're
like 35 minutes, 40 minutes away, literally.
Yeah, dude, we got to get together sometime, have some tea in person.
Yeah, I know. You live in Redlands or something like that?
Yeah. I live like right down the hill from you. It's friggin', it's yeah. Yeah, we got to get together sometime. So.
I live in Wrightwood. It's funny because my dad works in Redlands at the fire department, and we're down there all the time. Awesome.
Yeah, that's right down the street from me.
Yeah, let's do it, bro.
Awesome, man. Awesome. All right, guys, everybody out there, number one, I hope you're having an amazing new year because that's when this podcast is going to be published. Hope you're staying on top of your lives there, and I hope you're getting some enjoyment out of life. I mean, honestly, this is an amazing time and an amazing place that we get to live in, right? We out of all the billions of people who ever existed, you get to live here and now. Don't waste it. Get out there and live your best life while you can. And we'll be back at you with another awesome episode later on this week. This is Chris and Forrest, and we are out. All right, guys, there is our interview with Mr. Forrest Mundon, U.S. Army veteran, philosopher, entrepreneur. Dude is doing so many amazing things. So definitely go and check him out. His Instagram page that contains most of his philosophies and a lot of his self-help messaging is on Mundon. That's M-U-N-D-N underscore Forrest. That's F-O-R-R-E-S-T. He's got a lot of great stuff up there. He also runs the very popular Salty Soldier meme page, which you can also go check out. His podcast is called Backbuilders. You should definitely check that out. It goes into a lot of great ideas, covers a lot of the books he's read. Really awesome stuff. And he is, like I said, just a great dude. Definitely give him a follow. In addition to that, if you like what we do here on the Warrior Soul podcast, actually, if you love what we do here on the Warrior Soul, support the show, you can do so in a few different ways. The first is by heading over to our shop. It's up at warriorsoul.shop. We've got some great t-shirts up there. They are designed and printed by U.S. Marine Corps veterans up in our Santa Barbara print shop. Really, really awesome pieces there. We started as a clothing company, and we are carrying on that tradition. We've got a lot of great skivvy shirts. We've got a lot of just great t-shirts that you can wear and have a good time while you're wearing them. If you want to support yourself, you can also sign up for the Warriors Obituary Society. We talked about that during the announcements on this week's show. It is a group of men that are empowering each other to live their absolute best lives. And it starts with that 8-week development program where we are helping you to customize your own fitness, your own finance plan. We are helping you to focus on your career, your business, helping you to do amazing things in life. And if you want to go check that out, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. That's warriorobituarysociety.com. If you are not following us on social media, you should do so. You can follow us on Instagram at Warrior Soul Agoge. That's A-G-O-G-E. You can follow us on Twitter, and our Twitter handle is at Warrior Soul Gear. You should also be up with us on YouTube. We publish all these episodes to YouTube so you can see what everybody looks like and you can see what I look like. And yeah, I'm sure you won't be impressed when you see what I look like, but either way, you can see what we look like. So our YouTube channel is called Warrior Soul Agoge. And beyond that, guys, we are heading into 2020 strong. So keep up the momentum, keep pushing yourselves, keep training, and keep learning. We'll be back at you later on this week with some more awesome content. This is Chris Albert, and I am out. Get out there and live your best lives while you can.